Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are all very familiar with the word blessed. We all know what the Beatitudes mean to us. It all begins with the word blessed. And it occurs in all 8 Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. We live in a time where we all like to be blessed, and we understand blessed to mean happy. And in the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testament, it means our happiness is based upon our relationship with God in Christ. That's how the Bible always used the word blessed. Nothing wrong to be happy for the right reason. But when we are happy and we were at peace for the wrong reason, that is disastrous. That gives us a false sense of peace and tranquility, which ought not to be the case. Because if we are happy because of the material possessions we have, then we are in trouble. Happy because you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. That is how we usually understand the word blessed or blessed. But in Ephesians, it is known as the prison epistle. The Apostle Paul was in prison, perhaps most likely under house arrest, and so he was able to receive visitors and guests. Soon after writing this epistle and the others, he would write 1 Timothy. And then he would be released for a moment, and then he would be rearrested for the last and final time, around AD 66. And then he will write his final epistle to Timothy, known as 2 Timothy to us. And that would be the end of his service on earth. For the Lord will call the Apostle Paul home to be with him. This epistle to the Christians in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus was founded during the second missionary journey. It was a church where the Apostle Paul stayed a long time. By God's grace, he was permitted to stay for at least a few years. And therefore, during those long periods of time, what do you think the Apostle Paul did? He definitely would have taught them the Word of God. That was very rare for him. Remember, the Apostle Paul was pursued or persecuted each time when he visited from one city to the next. He was not able to stay more than a few weeks. And that is why on those occasions where he could stay for months or even a year or two, those were very rare and were very precious to him. Because he knows that the moment you lead people to Christ, they need to be grounded and rooted in God's truth. And Paul could not do that if he had to flee from city to city, village to village, town to town. And so in times like this, where he could stay for a few years in the city of Ephesus to establish the faith of the believers in the church in Ephesus, it was a wonderful, wonderful blessing to himself and to the Christians in Ephesus. But no matter how much time he spent, problems will soon arise. And problems did arise in this short epistle of 6 chapters. You can easily divide it into 2 halves, equal halves. At the end of chapter 3, you find the word Amen. And very often, some even consider that as the benediction. And why would Paul put a benediction at the close of a chapter when he had another 3 more chapters to write? Right? Look at chapter 3, verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. This was the conclusion of his treatise of the doctrine. The doctrine of what it means to be a Christian. Because he wanted the Christians to understand their behavior and conduct must be based upon their relationship with Christ. Not an order from an apostle, whom they were very familiar with. He spent a lot of time with them. That would not be healthy and good for anyone. Not for Paul and not for the people. They must change their lives and be godly Christians for Christ's sake. And so from chapter 4 onwards, Paul will deal with some of the problems that had arisen in the church in Ephesus. And you'll find that he will start to deal with Christians and Christians. And then he will narrow it down to different aspects of a Christian's life. slave-master relationship, parent-child relationship, husband-wife relationship, and so on. But all of them will be based upon a proper biblical understanding of what it means to be a Christian. And that's what the Apostle Paul did, spending three chapters explaining in great detail what it means to be a Christian, which is very needful and helpful for us today in an environment of great our relationships with one another. And so how did the Apostle Paul begin this epistle which he wrote from prison? That's why it's known as a prison epistle. The theme is taken from verse 3, of course, blessed with all spiritual blessing. Now, this word blessed is not what it means based upon what I've discussed or shared with you concerning this happy, because we know that we have a relationship with God in Christ. This is another word. At first, I was also surprised when I checked the original language. It's another word. This word in verse 3 used the same way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word blessed there means good words. Not good works, good words. Good words, W-O-R-D-S. Let good words be spoken about God the Father, God and our Father, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Same word. Who has also given to us good words, with all spiritual good words in heavenly places in Christ. Not the usual word for happiness, because we have a personal relationship with Christ. The emphasis is on good words, not good works. That means the power of words is the emphasis here. The power of God's words. So the first part, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is emphasizing the good words of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of God's words, God's word. This is it, the Bible. So today we are going to look at good words that has blessed us, changed us, transformed us with all spiritual good words. That's what it means. I must understand how wonderful the word of God is. Who are the ones who can understand? The identity of the ones who will consider the word of God as good. Verse 1. Christians. Paul, the saints, and all the faithful ones in Christ Jesus, all over the world. Paul, the writer, the saints in Ephesus, and then after that he included everybody else. So who are the ones who will appreciate and understand? The Apostle Paul, the teacher. You make sure you understand the potency and the power of God's word that you teach, you read, you handle. The recipients, the Christians in the church in Ephesus, and all the Christians all over the world who are considered faithful in Christ Jesus. Honestly, faithfully, diligently living for Christ. That's why the phrase in Christ Jesus, living for Christ, not your profession. What you say sometimes means very little when it is not backed up by a holy life. I'm not sure whether you heard of this. There was this preacher who could preach very well. Every time when he preached from the pulpit, the people do not want him to stop. Stay on the pulpit, keep on preaching, keep on preaching. He preached extremely well, and they all appreciated him very much. But when he comes down from the pulpit, when he talks to people, he behaves like a clown. He jokes when he's not supposed to joke. He laughs when he's not supposed to laugh. His behavior was very crude. And when he is not in the pulpit, when he's down, talking to people, interacting with people, behaving himself in a terrible manner, they all wish that he will not go back to the pulpit. But when he goes to the pulpit, they don't want him to come down. Because if he comes down, he behaves like a fool. But when he behaves like a fool, they don't want him to go up to the pulpit. Because we don't want to listen to a fool. I hope you and I are not like that. When you are in front of a class teaching, don't stop teaching, because you can teach very well. But when you are teaching, when you are at home, when you are with your friends outside, those who know that you are teaching, they will wish, please don't go and teach. How could a person who behaved in this carnal manner go in front of a class and teach the Word of God? The Word of God. I hope we are not like their two lives. When a person is sick with split personality, it is one thing. They can be treated, perhaps with some medication. But a person has spiritual schizophrenia, multiple personality, hypocrisy. How do we help such a person? That person has to be convicted and converted. So do you understand and appreciate the good words whenever you open the scriptures, whenever you look at the Bible? Because that's how the Apostle Paul wanted them to begin looking at themselves in relation to God's word, as he was about to teach them what it means to be a Christian with three long chapters, and then how to solve the interpersonal problems that existed in the church in Ephesus. Very well known in the Word of God, but application of the Word of God was a challenge. Because Paul spent at least 2 years with them. Just imagine the great Apostle Paul, the servant of servants, could be our teacher week after week, day after day. Every time you finish work, at the end of the day, you sit at the feet of the great Apostle Paul and you hear him preach and expound the Word of God. I dream of such things. How wonderful it must be to sit at his feet to listen to the great Apostle Paul expound and make the Word of God come alive. It must have been a tremendous blessing. Not 2 weeks, 2 long years. You can't wait to finish your farming and your shepherding or whatever you do, and then evening time have a quick dinner and then listen to him preach. True? It must have been wonderful. But the problem was life and word. Life must match with word. And that's why he says, good words. Who are those who appreciate and understand? The identity of them are these: the teacher and the student, whose lives have been changed. And when they listen, they know that this is the voice of God that I'm hearing. They will not murmur and complain. They will embrace it and they will love it. They will delight in it, because Jesus himself gave us the assurance, my sheep hears my voice and they will follow me. They will obey and they will follow me. They will hear the word of God and they will be so predisposed with the indwelling of the Spirit of God propelling them, that when they hear it, they can't wait to practice it and obey it at home and everywhere they go, without doubting, without challenging. The moment they begin to doubt and challenge, you and I know that these are the symptoms of waywardness. And so we make excuses. We make excuses to come up with what they call, oh, that's only your interpretation. But can they come up with an alternate interpretation? No. They hide behind this, oh, it's only your interpretation, so that they can reject God's word and feel good about themselves. That is foolishness. When you reject God's word, you should not feel good about yourself, but just simply brush it off, like using the term which is very commonly used by the God of this world. It's only your interpretation. Are you implying that God cannot write clearly and properly? That the word of God is so confusing that a person can interpret one way and the other person can interpret another way when both ways are contradictory? You and I can write better than that, can we not? When you write an essay in school, when the teacher reads your essay, you think the teacher is going to be very confused by what you write? That means you're going to get an F. But if you can write clearly, logically, where all your arguments are sequentially all placed in the right place, and your arguments are so convincing, at the end of it, the teacher had no choice but to give you a distinction. And you and I, in our limitation, can write so clearly. And God, who is our creator, who is the one who gives us language, and he can't write properly? Is the Bible that bad? That confusing? That you and I would just simply turn our back on the word of God and say, oh, that's only your interpretation. But are you going to find the right interpretation, or you just simply brush it off? Deceiving yourself. The people who regard the word and God as good, the word of God as good, belongs only to Christians. Because if you're not a Christian, you can't understand. This lady from a charismatic church wrote to pastorcalvarypandan.sg. She doesn't know who I am. Why and how she came to know our church, I have no idea. But she wrote to find out and ask me about what my view is on World Council of Churches. So I told her. And then after that, she asked me about tongue speaking. Do I speak in tongues? Then I realized that she is from a charismatic church. Then I wrote to her and asked and explained to her. She can't seem to understand. Then I sent her my entire set of notes on contemporary theology, on charismatism. But in those notes, more than 100 plus 150 pages or so, and in them I explain all the critical, relevant Bible passages concerning tongue speaking, concerning miracles, visions and dreams, and so on and so forth, hoping that she would spend time to read them. So a few days later, apparently she did not read them or maybe scan through them. She came back and asked me some more questions. So I explained again some more. And I realized that the more I explain, the worse it gets. She can't seem to understand what I'm saying. No matter how I try my best to use simple words and try to explain it from this perspective, that perspective, it can't seem to penetrate. So I remember what I said to others. Share the gospel. Perhaps they are not born again. And so I asked, can you share with me how you accepted Christ? She simply could not. Can you share with me what exactly was the gospel that you heard that brought about salvation? She could not either. She just simply quoted John 3:16 and that's it. Couldn't even talk about the gospel concerning sin, death and hell, concerning the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ and the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. None of these things. Can't understand. 20 over exchanges, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Until at the end of it, she tried to tell me and explain to me her views, and she just simply cited Bible verses, Bible phrases here and there without any explanation. She just simply cannot understand God's word. And then the more I explain, the more it reveals her inability to understand God's word. And at the end of it, she says, I don't understand God's word. So I said, that's it. I don't want to email her anymore. It's a waste of my time. I share the gospel with her, explain to her. She just simply bypass and ignore. So, no point. They can't understand. If you can't understand God's word, if you do not look at the word of God as something that is, you have a serious problem. You have a serious, serious problem concerning your relationship with God, your salvation, and whether you're truly born again or not. It is no accident that God described His Word as the milk and meat to our soul. It was no accident when the Lord Jesus Christ deliberately said to Nicodemus, you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. You want to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to be born of water, which is the Word of God, and the Spirit. But the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and bring conviction and conversion, and the Lord Jesus Christ will see that you are truly converted. He will baptize you with the born again. A person who is spiritually alive is born again, Jesus says. That means, as a person is spiritually alive, he will want spiritual food. And the only spiritual food is the milk and meat, which is the Word of God. All these are tied in together as one complete picture to help us understand the clearest evidence of a person who is truly born again is his attitude toward God's Word. First, his ability to understand it now. Second, his love for the Word of God and his desire to obey it at all costs. And when he stumbles and falls, he will understand from God's word, I must sincerely, truly repent and come back to the Lord. He learns and he learns and he loves it. He can't have enough of God's word. He can't wait to open the scriptures and read it and study it. Just like a person who is hungry can't wait to sit in front of his delicious plate of rice or whatever you eat for your lunch or dinner. He can't wait because the hunger pangs will drive him there and he can't wait to have that meal. And just like the spiritual hunger pangs in everyone who is born again, he wants the spiritual food that can satisfy him. And the Word of God is the only thing that can satisfy his spiritual hunger. Because every time he listens to God's Word, he knows that it is his Heavenly Father who is speaking to him now. And when the person is born again, the first love is so strong that whenever he hears the voice of his Father with a strong love for the Lord at spiritual birth, he loves God's word. Do you have that? So you can't wait to have enough of God's word. You will make this your priority. You don't think about the inconveniences, how far you have to travel. You just simply can't wait to arrive. And you try your best not to be late. You can't wait to have everywhere. You'll be there at the start and you'll be there at the end. And you will focus throughout, concentrate, and just simply listen and drink in the word of God. Like a hungry, dry desert, drinking in the water that falls from the heavens. And more is no amount is enough. Like the desert, no amount of water that falls onto it will be enough to satisfy the dusty, dry desert, right? And our heart is like that. First you are born again, never tasted a single drop of the wonderful milk of God's word. Never eaten one grain of the wonderful meat of God's word. Because you are not born again. You are dead in sin. And then you tasted first and foremost the gospel for the first time. And it was so delicious. You embrace it. You are convicted by it. You are converted by it. And then after that, the insatiable appetite starts to form in your heart. And you keep on wanting more and more and more of God's word. A feeling that you never had before. Because when you were not born again, you read God's word. It was not good. They were not good words. You treated it like no different from any book of man. Like your geography book, your history book. But once you are born again, something has changed. It's still the Bible. You have changed. And therefore, the word of God has now transformed you, and you are also transformed. And you look at the word is also transformed in your eyes. You now look at the Bible. This is a special book. Before that, no difference. But now special. You go to school, you read all the books of man. Then at night, after dinner, before you sleep, you open this book, you know this is not the book of man. This is a special book. The book of life. The book of God. Who are the ones who understand this blessing? Only Christians. Because this word blessing, good words. Good words. The basis. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The identity of the blessed ones, Paul, believers, faithful in Christ, saints, holy ones. The basis, God's grace. We don't deserve it. That you must never forget. The danger of being a Christian for a long period of time is that we forget. We forget the transition that we were transformed from darkness to light. That's why the Lord gives us the Lord's Supper. Remember the day, no matter whether you've been a Christian for 40 or 50 years, you never forget the first day Christ met you and you accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior. Because when that happens, you know it is grace. Because grace will always cause us to well up from within with the deepest sense of gratitude and thanksgiving, because it is grace. You don't deserve it. You know the feeling of what's it like when you are caught speeding by a traffic police. Worse still, if you know that you already have some points, and with this particular criminal act on your part for breaking the traffic law, you would have exceeded the points that you are not supposed to exceed for these 2 years, and you will lose your driving's license and you can't drive anymore until the period of suspension is over. And then this traffic police come up to you, and you know you're in serious trouble, and he look at you. Then suddenly out of the blue, without your request or begging, and you're prepared to beg, I think. Don't bribe. Beg maybe, but don't bribe. Tolong, please. You can. But even before you say anything, he says, I'm giving you a last warning. He doesn't know your background. He doesn't know anything. You may pray for God's mercy, and then he comes to you a last warning. You exceeded by this and this. Don't do it again. How would you feel? Grace. Mercy. Deserve to be punished. Deserve to be suspended. Not allowed to drive. And everybody's life in your home will be turned upside down because suddenly you can't drive. You still got to go to work. Your wife got to wake up early to drive you to work. Or you're going to take Grab for the rest of your period of suspension. Or whatever inconvenience that you have to live with suddenly evaporated. Wow. Gone.
So relief. How relief should you be when you are delivered from death and hell? Suspension of a driver's license is not death and hell, not even close. How relieved should you be? And that's why the Lord tells us the basis of us being able to understand the good words of God, where the good words have impacted us and transformed us and changed us. Grace. God's grace. And His peace. Now mercy is excluded at this juncture. Why? Because mercies will be punishment we deserve that God will withheld. And so now He's going to deal with some issues in the church from chapter 4 to chapter 6. And if these people after Paul would explain to them, correct them, chastise them, admonish them, and they still refuse to change, mercy will not be given. God's chastisement will come. That's why He took out the word mercy. Not that it will not be given. It will only be given a condition of repentance and obedience. But grace, you already know Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. You already have it. Your place is in heaven. He's reminding them of the manifold blessings that God has already bestowed upon every Christian, hoping that everyone in the church in Ephesus will be Christian. And those who are Christian, they would appreciate and understand this well. Those who are not, it will be a chastisement and a rebuke. Because He knows that in any church, especially of any size that is substantial, there will be always a mixture of believers and unbelievers. A good sound church will often be a more believer constitution and fewer unbelievers. But an unhealthy church will be the other way around. And sometimes the truly born again believers can't stomach it anymore and they too will leave. And what you have left will be all goats. And that's why the Apostle Paul did not want that to happen. And that's why he reminded them of the grace that every Christian is supposed to have. That means you think of all the blessings that you do not deserve that are waiting for you. And that will be his transition to verse 3. Blessing us with all spiritual blessings, the good words. That the word of God that Paul brought, that have convicted and converted, and more of the good words that Paul had taught them during his 2 years with them. Do you know how wonderful the word of God is? Do you know how wonderful it must be for us who speaks only English? And the word of God is in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And God will raise up people like William Tyndale and others to translate the word of God for us so that we can read God's word. Otherwise, the word of God will be a closed book to us. And how good the words of God can be to us will never be appreciated by us because you don't understand how to obey what you don't understand. And that's why he says, grace to you, be to you, and peace from God and Father, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, you have made peace with God. You are a Christian. You receive God's grace, and God's grace is now what you must focus on. The basis of us receiving good words is because of God's grace in our lives, resulting in us having a peace with Him because of the good words. That's the basis. Not the preacher, not the pastor, not the friend. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father, shown to you grace and peace. Will you be a godly Christian in your relationships with one another as Paul will deal with them from chapter 4, point by point? But you must understand your relationship with God first and foremost before your relationship with fellow human beings could be properly managed and restored. Otherwise, it will remain a disaster. To have a good relationship based upon lies and deception and carnality is not true restoration. It has to be based upon God's word, which is holy, righteous, pure, and good. And that cannot happen when you don't have a close, intimate, right, holy relationship with God Himself in Christ. And that's how Paul wants us to remember. That's why he did not use the word blessed in terms of happy. He used the blessed in terms of good words. Have you received good words? If you are truly born again, you would see, you would understand, you would appreciate, you would embrace. And you know that it is by God's grace. That's the only basis. We don't deserve it. That's why it is gratitude on our part, thankfulness on our part, humility on our part. And we will not boast and we will not brag because we don't deserve it. If you think you deserve it because you're not that bad a person,
then you better think again. And you better think again quickly, seriously. Because we are all saved by grace. And you think you deserve it, then grace doesn't apply to you. It is your right. Because I'm a good person, God. And if, as a good person, as your right, you will never, never be born again. Because the only people who can qualify and enter heaven are those who know that they are sinners. Doctors are people that we go to when we know we are sick. That's why when I visit some of the doctors who are Pandan members, I usually say to them, I don't like to see you in your clinic, because I won't go to their clinic unless I'm sick. I don't mind seeing them in church. I like to fellowship with them in church. I like to go out for dinner with them, but outside the clinic. Did Jesus not say the same? A healthy person won't need a physician. Only a sick person will need a physician. If you think that you are so good and so righteous, you do not deserve or you do not need God's grace, you don't need salvation. That means you are still in your sin. That's why God does not ever want us to forget that it is by His grace we have peace with Him. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, not by your service, not by your good looks, not by your good works, not by your money, nothing. Only by God's grace through Christ. You have received God's good words. That you can appreciate and understand the power of the Word of God that has changed you, transformed you, and can continue to do so. That's why Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good words by God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good words. It's from them. It's not from Paul. It's not from Peter. It's not from John. It's not from anyone. It's from God. Moses' words, God's words. Joshua, God's words. Samuel, God's word. David, Psalms, all God's word. And they are characterized by goodness. It will bring goodness into your soul, into your heart, into your entire being. But by grace. By grace. Because God is the only one who can give these good words to us. And we can understand it and appreciate it. The good words by God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has given to us good words, with all spiritual good words in heavenly places in Christ. So what are some of these all spiritual good words? He has chosen us. You know the good word called election? Verse 4. That's the word election, chosen us. Isn't this a good word? God willing, we shall look at this next time, hoping that we may understand a doctrine that has been so badly abused, even by us. Oh, I don't want to give the gospel to this person. Oh, God did not elect him. If God is going to elect him, what for? What's the point of me sharing? What's the point of me living a holy life? If God is going to choose and God is going to save, regardless of how I behave, then I don't have to live a holy life. That kind of distortion and misunderstanding and abuse to the doctrine of election is scary, atrocious. Right? You want to know what are all the with all spiritual good words? The first good word in verse 4 is election. You and I have been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Another good word, that we should be holy and without blame. Some more good words, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, not the adoption of servants. Children, servants would be good enough for us, right? To spend eternity as a servant of God is good enough. But God says, no, not good enough for me. I want you to spend eternity with me as my children. Another good word, predestination. Adoption of children by Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His determined will. Another good word, to the praise of His glory, of His grace, wherein He had made us accepted. Another good word, make us accepted in the Beloved. part and parcel of God's family, and He received you and accept you because of Christ, from enemy to children, child of God. Another good word. Redemption, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. You see a long, long list of good words. Do you appreciate all of them? You should, because all these words describe a Christian. A Christian who simply, by God's grace and mercy, in all sincerity and unconditionally, prayed the prayer of salvation and received Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, and all these good words have taken place in his life. He doesn't know it yet. That's why Paul is now explaining it piece by piece, layer by layer, like peeling off the skin and layers of an onion, unfolding to us how wonderful it is to be a Christian. All these good words are now applied and carefully, accurately describe a Christian. That's what it means by all spiritual good words. These are all spiritual words that the world doesn't understand. They don't appreciate it, because it is completely meaningless to them. You can tell them about redemption through the blood, forgiveness of sin, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You know the good words, that you are a Christian now, you are wiser than your teachers and the ancients. You know that, right? It's in the poetry of the Old Testament. Wiser than the teachers and the ancients, because you know what God did on this earth. You know simple things that to the world out there are things that they can't even penetrate, as simple as, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Christians are not allowed to use that analogy when you are confronted with a conundrum. You know that, right? Conundrum. You know what's a conundrum, children? You know what's a conundrum? You don't know what's a conundrum. Ask your mom and dad. A conundrum. Don't know what is the right thing to do. Don't know which came first. Hey, yeah, it's a chicken and egg issue. It's not a chicken and egg. Because to a Christian, we know chicken came first, and then after that, they will reproduce after its kind. So simple. Genesis 1 and 2, the moment you read these two chapters, that problem is readily and easily solved. Chicken came first, then the egg. But all the ancients and the teachers, wow, they scratch their head until they are bald. Don't know lah. Chicken and egg issue lah. A conundrum. We cannot use that. We know. You see the wisdom? Simple thing like this. Having made known unto us the mystery of God's will, determined according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself. And you read on this whole chapter, you will find a lot of good words. And these are all the spiritual blessings based upon all these good works that are so rich and full in meaning that Paul says God has already given to you. You have it as a Christian. Or you may not know it. And God willing, we're going to study this. And so that when you know it, you should appreciate your salvation with more than just John 3:16. John 3:16 is good. But it is much, 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 much more. The many layers. And this is just a sampling of all the good words, all spiritual good words that have been bestowed upon us in heavenly places in Christ. What does that mean? We are on earth. How come in heavenly places? Because these are all spiritual things that exist in the spiritual realm that will be very, very common in heaven. Very uncommon on earth, but very common in heaven. Because in heaven, all these terms are the norms. You realize that? These are all spiritual terminologies that are very, very common in heaven. Because the source is from God. The source is from God. The identity of the blessed ones, the basis of all these good works, God's grace. And then the source from heaven. That's why in heavenly places. You know what is IBS? When the doctor says you have IBS, it's not good. Irritable bowel syndrome, right? IBS. You know, this afternoon, your IBS is identity, basis, and source. Not irritable bowel syndrome, huh? Identity of the blessed ones. Those who understand good words.
Christians. I hope you are one of them. The basis, God's grace. Not your right. Don't be proud, don't be arrogant. Grace that enable us to have peace with God in Christ. And that's through the good words. And then the source in heavenly places, because the source is God. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been bestowed all spiritual good words. And these are the good words that will establish, strengthen, and help us to remain firmly rooted in holiness as we witness for the Lord in these last days. So that whatever problems and difficulties you will encounter in your relationships, and the more you serve together, the more times and chances you're going to have a lot of problems. But the relationship that you have with Christ, with God in Christ, will give you the strength to overcome whatever problems in all relationships that you have with one another. And that's why Christians do not quit, because they quarrel. There will be misunderstanding, there will be quarrels. But in Christ, the love of Christ, the blood of Christ is enough to help us solve any problems, any differences, and bring about true, genuine reconciliation. That is what these spiritual good words, blessings, are all about. And every believer, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. The good words from God has resulted in all spiritual good words that you have embraced. And it is from God and God alone. Be grateful, be thankful, be humble as you live for Him in holiness, in godliness, in righteousness, according to every good word, which is the Holy Scriptures. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for the precious word of life, the good words that You have given to us, the word that You have inspired and preserved down through the ages perfectly, so that all of us who are truly born again in Christ would love Thee by loving Thy truth. For the word of God is indeed the milk and meat to our thirsty and our hungry soul, that we will not go through a day without eating and drinking the milk which is the word of God. Help us, O Lord, to delight in Thy truth, that the hunger that we have toward Thy truth will never wane, but it will grow stronger and stronger, so that we will always go through the day with the word of God as our guide, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, so that the words we speak will be seasoned with salt, so that the life we live will be one of holiness, the salt and light to a world that is rotten and in darkness, pointing many to the Savior, because Thy good words have been our blessing by Your grace, and You are the one who has blessed us with all spiritual good words that will encourage us and help us to be more stable and steadfast in our faith and in our trust in our Savior. And as we continue to study the book of Ephesus, God willing, throughout these few months, may Thy Holy Spirit be our teacher, and we may continue to behold wonderful truth out of Thy holy word, so that our love for Thee and our witness for Christ and our relationship with one another may continue to bring glory and honor to Thy holy name. For this we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.